This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, Josh Rountree here on the Fan Evening Show tonight. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And joining us now on the Fan Hotline is our good pal Chris Carter from the Post-Gazette. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm all right, Josh. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Let's dive right into it. Mike Tomlin talks today. The big story coming out of South Water Street is the quarterback situation. Go figure.
Of course.
What did you make of his comments? I guess first things first, did you feel like he's certainly starting to lean towards getting Russell Wilson a chance? And do you feel like that's the right move at this point is to get him in there and see what he can do?
I'll address your first question first. Do I feel like he's leaning to it? Yes, he's made it clear he's giving Russell Wilson a chance. However, I do want to make it clear he is pointedly non-committal on who will get even the first team reps of the week. I think he's very clear that both are going to get the chance to prove it this week. But if you're Mike Tomlin and you know that teams have had six games to study Justin Fields, they're looking at, look what he just did to the Raiders last week. Two rushing touchdowns. He wasn't able to throw the ball too well, but you got to consider where he might take off at all times. Be aware of all his rushing lanes. That is something that takes an entire week to prepare for, as the Steelers know when they play guys like Lamar Jackson. However, if you could put yourself in the situation where they spend all week, they spend, you know, hours upon hours, days even, preparing for that, and then all of a sudden it's Russell Wilson and he's hitting you with 20, 30 yard passes downfield, that could be something to your advantage. I think very much what Mike Tomlin is doing here is some gamesmanship, much like we see from Pat Narduzzi on the Pitt football side of things, when he doesn't have to even say who's playing, who's even going to dress each week. But I think this is very much to keep it sealed. But there's going to be a chance given here. But I also think, to get to your second question, this is a decision that's going to come down to a couple of factors here. A, can Russell Wilson make the routine passing plays that are in the Steelers offense routinely? And that's borrowing a Tomlinism there. And it's like, I'm going to illustrate it more in a film study that's coming out tomorrow morning in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, that how Arthur Smith's passing offense is giving you a lot of opportunities downfield. There are plenty of guys that are open, not in crazy reads, not in third and fourth and fifth progressions, but in simple, just one, two reads, knowing where the defense is, you can attack here, that Justin Fields is not seeing. If Russell Wilson can do that routinely, I think that opens up a lot for your offense. And the question the Steelers have to get to is, if he can do that, figuring that out first, is that more valuable to your offense than the X-factor ability that Justin Fields gives you by being on the run, escaping the pocket, and being dangerous with his legs, and also being able to throw while he's being dangerous with his legs? He had a 20-yard completion to Calvin Austin over the middle that was, you know, pressure up A-gap. He spun out of the hole, kept his eyes downfield, delivered a strike. But for every one of those plays, I count about four of the plays where if he just reads the defense pre-snap and within 3 to 4 seconds gets the ball out, that's a 20-yard completion. And I think that does more for the Steelers' offense. So that's the question the Steelers have to figure out. Can Russell Wilson make those routine plays happen? And if he does, is that more valuable than Justin Fields' X-factor?
Does that lend itself then to a situation where Russell is the number one quarterback, but Justin is the guy that's also coming in and, you know, inside the 5 yard line, in certain third downs in short situations to use his legs. Like, does that open itself up for that? Because Mike Tomlin was asked about that today and sort of, he said, yeah, it's a scenario that could happen. I haven't thought about that in the way that you just put it, though, when he was asked about using both guys in the same game. So I don't know if that's gamesmanship perhaps by Mike Tomlin there, but to me it opens itself up to both of those guys being used no matter I don't know that you use Russell Wilson if Justin Fields is the number one, but the other way around, I think you certainly have to have consideration to Justin Fields and what he can do as a playmaker.
Absolutely. I mean, and let's make no qualms about it. He's been a heck of a playmaker for the Steelers. He's got 10 touchdowns, five through the air, five on the ground. He does have the most fumbles in the league. That's something that should not be overlooked. But at the same time, he's protected the football. Otherwise, he has one interception. You could say that he should have a few more. I think that's something that Justin Fields has done very well. I mean, the first touchdown run he had, Josh, it was fourth down. They need to get in that end zone. And the Raiders did a good job covering up what they did. It was play action, bootleg to the left side. Pat Freiermuth was covered. Darnell Washington was covered. Those were the immediately available receivers. And there was a defensive lineman with the angle on Justin Fields. Justin Fields is too fast to make it matter, and he just outruns the guy. Those are things that are valuable, and there are plays that are drawn up because he could do that. But again, like I'll show you in this film study tomorrow with the Post Gazette, but there are plays where even where Justin Fields made a nice little check down for 4 yards to Connor Hayward, Calvin Austin is wide open with 15 yards of space, 20 yards downfield, and he's not even getting the opportunity. There are plays where a defense lines up in a zone and they go to that zone, and there's a natural fit where like a Darnell Washington could get 15 yards out of that Justin Fields isn't even looking at, or George Pickens on a play where he checked it down to Freiermuth and he got 5 to 8 yards or so. Pickens was open 10, 15 yards downfield in a play that could have resulted in a touchdown. It's those types of things that if Russell Wilson can see those, that adds another element to this offense that currently does not exist. And then you are talking about maybe this offense averaging more like 23, 24 points per game. And if you do that with a defense that currently sits as the number two scoring defense in the NFL, that to me makes you a dangerous football team. And it also opens up the rushing offense more. You saw what Najee Harris could do when he's not getting hit 2 yards in the backfield every play.
It's a good segue. When you look at the film, what was different? Was there anything different in the way that Najee ran in that game, the things that he did differently? Obviously, the results were different, but I thought there were moments where we saw some things from Najee, and I was like, oh, wow, like we haven't seen him do that in a little while here. What was your thoughts when you looked at the film, and what did it tell you about the game that Najee played, and was it maybe a little bit different at times than what we've seen in the past?
I think a big thing is that, and I've said this for 3 years now, I think when people say, oh, Najee dances at the line, he dances at the line when he has to dance to find a hole because there's nothing, what's designed is not there. And the Steelers have had shoddy offensive line play since the retirement of Marquise Pouncey and David DeCastro. They've been trying to find answers, and I think they're getting better. And I think you're starting to see, that the result of that with this week. But again, they're about to play their seventh week this season with their seventh offensive line because of all the injuries they sustained. So that creates problems of itself. But the difference was, I think, in this game, I think that one thing Arthur Smith did, even though it did not result in big passing yards, the more mixing in of first down passes, I think they did 8 or 9 first down passes in this game. Mm-hmm. It made the Raiders pull up on some of those first down run blitzes that we saw the Colts and the Cowboys overcommit to at times. And doing that simply gives your offensive line more space. Instead, they're dealing with 6 or 7 guys in the box instead of 8 or 9. And some guys, again, those guys aren't lining up in the box, but a safety that's lining up is flying to the line of scrimmage. Their first 5 steps are pressing the line because they're trying to stop Najee Harris. They don't want to give the Steelers an easy room to run. And in this game, I think they backed those guys off, and Najee Harris didn't have to dance because he's like, hey, the hole is there. I don't have to guess anymore. I'm just attacking. And that's what you saw was Najee Harris getting downhill. This is what what I said Arthur Smith was going to eventually do. It wasn't going to happen right away, but go back and look what Derrick Henry was before Arthur Smith and then what Derrick Henry was with Arthur Smith. And I'm not saying Najee Harris is Derrick Henry, but Derrick Henry's best 2 years ever in the NFL are still the 2 years that he had Arthur Smith as offensive coordinator. And a big part of that was he was able to use Ryan Tannehill to set up a passing attack that forced defenses to be a little bit more honest with it when attacking Derrick Henry in the run game. And that gave him space to work. And once you get a running back to the you know, 2-3 yards beyond the line of scrimmage, then it starts to be about how good can they be as a guy who gets the extra yards, pushes the pile forward, makes the guy miss. And you saw in this game, that's where Najee Harris can thrive. Now, in previous games, including the Colts and the Cowboys, oftentimes that means having to do that 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage when you don't have your momentum built up. Most running backs aren't going to be good at that point. Najee Harris, I think, has shown when you give him that space, he makes it work. The Steelers have to find that balance that gets that more often throughout this season if they want the run game to thrive, even when Jaylen Warren and Cordarrelle Patterson are healthy as well.
Chris, looking at the offense as well here, you know, Devontae Adams goes to the Jets. Brandon Ayuk, mm-hmm. that didn't work out here either. What do you feel like is next for the Steelers as far as targeting a wide receiver? Clearly, they're interested in bringing in another wide receiver to help them out. What is next for them, do you think? Is there a name or a couple of names that you think might work? And ultimately, like, what are they looking for in a type of receiver? Because, you know, I've heard people say, like, DK Metcalf, but DK Metcalf is a different player than Devontae Adams. I feel like they need a guy that's more of a tactician and route running, over the middle type stuff. You can line him up in the slot. Like that's the type of guy that I feel like they need more than just this big hulking presence on the outside, because they kind of have a guy that can go do the outside stuff and deep balls and all that. At least you think he can in George Pickens. What should they be looking for in a type of receiver, and are there any guys out there you think could work?
I think a Darius Slayton makes sense. I know that that's not the sexy name that brings home the fans and the clicks and all that stuff. But here's the other thing about this, Josh. I also think this might not be about the talent that's not there. It's kind of about using the talent that they have. And I'll illuminate this again more in my film study coming out tomorrow. Calvin Austin is getting open, and I mean wide open. And I said this in the Cowboys game. I reinforce it again with the Raiders game. This dude is cooking corners. And the problem is the Steelers passing offense isn't incorporating it into their attack yet. Part of that's Justin Fields. Part of that's pressure. Part of that's just bad luck. But I think a lot of it is the vision. They need a quarterback that can see that and take advantage of it. And Calvin, and you do that, I think this need for a big number two wide receiver would go away, not just purely because of Calvin Austin, but because Darnell Washington sometimes is open for 15-yard gains and not even looked at. Pat Freiermuth can get more looks in those situations. The attention that George Pickens brings, and if you hit on some of these other plays, it'll force defenses to be more balanced with how they try to double and triple team him at times with their schemes. It's those type of things. And I said this with Will Graves. He's my guest on the Locked On Steelers podcast tomorrow. I said to him, I was like, look, everyone wants the Steelers to go get McDonald's. But I truly think Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan are like, we got McDonald's at home, buddy. We got leftover spaghetti that's sitting there that'll make you full and make you happy if you take what's there. And I think that's, again, going back to the Russell Wilson, Justin Fields conversation, that's what if you give Russell Wilson the starting job, that's what you're saying. You got to do this, buddy. If you want to hold on to this and you're able to hit Calvin Austin when he runs its corner route and the safety is so far backed off that it gives you an easy 15-yard gain, if he's able to hit plays like that, plays where Van Jefferson's running up the seam uncovered, where Darnell Washington is just left alone because defenses are too worried about everyone else, if you hit those routinely and you're Russell Wilson, it changes the entirety of this offense. But if you don't, then you are back to, all right, Justin Fields, go out here and try to beat people with your legs. That's what I think the Steelers are hoping on. And it's also why I said when Brandon Ayuk was a thing, I said in March when people were talking about this, that's not going to happen. Brandon Ayuk wants too much money. He's not worth the money that he's asking for to the Steelers and what they're doing right now. It would also kind of make that George Pickens situation as far as figuring out if you want to pay him a lot murkier. Devontae Adams, even less so because of his age. And I don't know why people were even mentioning Amari Cooper today. The Browns were never going to trade him to the Steelers and give that guy, that dynamic playmaker to this offense, regardless of what the Steelers passing offense is. I think if the Steelers are going for a wide receiver, it is a low trade pick value that does not destroy their cap and does not force them to commit a whole bunch of money, which that's what Devontae Adams would have done. That's what Brandon Ayuk would have done. And if you're looking for another big name, if you're trying to get DK Metcalf, that's going to take money, and that's going to take draft picks. Two things I think the Steelers are trying to hold on to. And for those who are thinking about, well, what do you mean? What about draft picks? Zach Frazier, who I think is very fortunate, the Steelers are going to get back him in two weeks' time from his injury or so. Zach Frazier is a second round pick. That's the level of type of player that you can get with a second round pick. So do not dismiss that they can't hit there, because, you know, for all the complaints about Omar Khan and Kevin Colbert in the front office over the past few years, they're finding guys. And if you want to trust them to find more guys like Zach Frazier, more playmakers, you got to let yourself build naturally through the draft sometimes and not sell out to get a 32-year-old who might work in your offense for a year's time before you have to send him back out into free agency because you're not going to pay him big dollars.
Chris, last thing for you, let's flip to the defensive side of things. Sure. You know, I felt like Patrick Queen the first couple of weeks maybe had some struggles. I feel like I haven't noticed him struggling here in the last couple of weeks. Is that fair? And how do you feel like his progression has been? How do you feel like he's played? Because obviously they gave this guy a decent chunk of change to come here to try to shore up a position that's been a little tumultuous here ever since, you know, Ryan Shazier went down in Cincinnati.
It's funny you bring up Patrick Queen, because I asked that very question to Mike Tomlin about how he felt about Patrick Queen. And I love this word he gave. He said, man, I love the trajectory of Patrick Queen and what he's doing for us. I think that acknowledges in just that simple way. And this is why Mike Tomlin, I think, is so good at giving us the Tomlinisms and saying what he needs to say and letting us take what we need to take. But it's talking about the trajectory. He's acknowledging, yeah, you know what? I think there were some mistakes he needed to clean up. That first week against the Falcons, I do not think he played well, despite the Steelers' defense playing well as a unit. I think that he's had some rough outings so far, but I think his game against the Chargers was really impressive. I thought that he did better against the Cowboys, I think, if I might be misremembering there, but I thought he played very well. He got his best game of the season against the Raiders.
Yeah.
And it's what he's doing for everyone else. It's communicating, making sure people are in the right spots. It's making sure he's in the right spots to help the run. It's taking away the screen game, which, by the way, I talked to Alan Saunders about this. He said that, like, you know, you go back and watch some of those screen passes that the Raiders were trying to set up, Patrick Queen was all over them. And that's something Dan Moore even said back in the spring when they got Patrick Queen. He was like, do you know how annoying Patrick Queen is when you call a screenplay? Like, we were told in pre-games getting ready to play the Ravens, wherever the screen is, make sure you know where he is and you block him, because he will blow up your screen pass. And how many times over the past few years, Josh, have we seen the screen specifically wreck the Steelers defense? And I think it's one thing when Patrick Queen's on it and he takes that away, it eliminates another sort of easy play that offenses can escape the Steelers and the script that they want to play. That's what Patrick Queen is bringing. I think that he's still fitting in, and I think that he fits. And this is another part of what Mike Tomlin said. He said, quote, they've done a nice job assimilating into our culture and putting their hand in the pile. And he said that about Patrick Queen, Dante Jackson, who has three interceptions, by the way, and Deshaun Elliott, who's also been a really good playmaker. All three veterans really fitting what the Steelers need on defense. To me, that is what you want. They're being role players. The Steelers' defensive stars are still Hayward, are still Watt, Minkah Fitzpatrick, even though he doesn't have interceptions. I think he's still been very solid. This defense still has the potential to be elite this season, and those guys are definitely helping.
Yeah, it's good to see him come along. You mentioned the two other guys they brought in to start on this defense. I think both of them have shown some really good moments throughout this year. I don't know how this video thing works. Can you see me, Chris?
Yes.
You can see me? Hey, what is this about here? Who's this guy? what's going on here? Chris Carter, Cheney University, inaugural 40 under 40 class.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations. What was that like? I mean, that's a heck of an honor from the first HBCU in America. Is that's correct? That's Cheney, right?
That's Cheney University, founded in 1837, the first HBCU, something that I truly am proud to be an alumnus of there. I think that one thing that really rung home to me was how much I miss my alma mater, Cheney University. I was in the marching band there. I was NAACP president there. I was student government president there. I loved my time there, and I was so honored to be part of the first ever 40 under 40 class. I met so many of the other leaders on campus from my time, but also people that I looked up to that were older than me on campus that set a lot of great standards on there for how I wanted to be a leader on that campus. Chain University is an amazing place. It's a small HBCU that it's tucked away. Most people are, when they ask, I have to say, hey, you know where Westchester is? And like, oh yeah. And I'm like, yeah, they're like down the street from that. But Cheney is such a special place and produces so many special people. You know, I was honored in the same 40 under 40 class as Mia Keys, who is a Rhodes Scholar who meets with presidents every year about how to help the Black community, and amazing entertainers like Chris Davis, who, if you don't know who Chris Davis is, if you saw the big George Foreman movie that came out last year, he played George Foreman in Hollywood. He's been in other select films. He's been on Atlanta, the TV series. There were so many other people, doctors, attorneys, amazing individuals that I was truly honored to be honored alongside them, and to be back home and just rekindle so many amazing relationships that I made through that place. It was truly an honor, and I was so happy to get that. So a shout out to Chain University. I love that place. And if you're ever looking for a place to check out, and you got a young person, they offer amazing scholarships to people that live in Pennsylvania. So do check out Chain University. They take on all students from the PA area, and shout out to Cheney, the first HBCU.
John Cheney, C. Vivian Stringer, Chris Carter, three sports legends who have all been affiliated with Cheney.
Ed Bradley, by the way.
And Ed Bradley, absolutely. Hey, congratulations to you on that. Very proud of you, particularly as a fellow Regent Square Elementary
Regent
product.
Square!
That's quite the accomplishment given where you came from back in the Regent Square days, I can tell you that. But you've done well, and we'll talk again soon, Chris. Thanks, man. Appreciate it, as always.
Thanks for having me, Josh.
All right. That is Chris Carter. Yeah, Chris and I, if you're unaware, we've talked about it a couple of times. We've had Chris on the show. We realized that we were at one time in... we were in elementary school together. I think we were like a year apart in elementary school, and we went to the same elementary school. And we were talking one day. I was on his podcast, and I was like, "Where did you grow up?" And he told me where he grew up in the city. And I was like, "Oh, where'd you go to school?" And he told me, and I was like, "Where'd you go to elementary school?" And I was like, "Oh, I went to Regent Square Elementary." And I was like, "Get out!" I was like, "I went to Regent Square Elementary." And we sort of figured out, like, we had a lot of mutual acquaintances, same teachers and things like that. We were like a year apart, and we were walking past each other in the halls every day. And then a certain amount of years later, I'm not going to get into how many years it's been because it's now been a few, but I will tell you, Chris was 40 under 40. So you know that he's under 40, and so am I. But we were, you know, crossing paths at the Steelers facility and Acrisure Stadium and places like that. So it was kind of cool. And proud of Chris. That's an awesome, awesome accomplishment. 40 under 40 at Cheney University, and he's a great, great reporter as well. Right now, covering all things Pittsburgh sports, particularly the Steelers and the Pitt Panthers. I wanted to ask him about Pitt, but we got to get to a break here. But obviously, he's doing great work covering the Panthers as well. Who, by the way, 20th in the country. Look out! Here come those Panthers. They're playing very, very well. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Want to get back into the quarterback talk, Fields and Wilson. I know we had a lot of callers earlier, so maybe you're still sticking around and want to chime in on this. 412-928-9370. That's the number where you can reach us. What do you think they should do? Fields, should he remain the starting quarterback? Should he keep it going? Even though I think overall we can admit the results have been a little bit of a mixed bag to this point. Or should they kind of throw the wild card out there, and that would be Russell Wilson? And should they see what Russell Wilson has, what he can do? Can he take this offense to the next level? Curious to get your thoughts. 412-928-9370, as we'll reopen the phone lines here throughout the rest of the show. I'm Josh Roundtree, and I also want to get into this, by the way. Davante Adams. What's next for the Steelers post the Davante Adams move to the Jets? What do they need? We'll talk about that when we come back, as well as the Wilson Fields conundrum going on this week on South Water Street, the Steelers practice facility. I'm Josh Roundtree. This is the Fan Evening Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I got to bring this up. Fan Twitter brought to you by Southwest Kia Peters Township. You can visit them at southwestkia.net. That's not what I have to bring up, though. I guess technically that's pretty much the only thing that I have to bring up. This part, I just feel like it's necessary for me to bring up. Joel, every day I get on the Parkway North, and there's like a Jeep Grand Cherokee that's just sitting on an on-ramp for the Parkway North, the inbound side of the Parkway North. And it's been there for at least a month, maybe 2 months. And it's just sitting there. The one day, they were lining up construction trucks, and the construction trucks were just parked sort of around the Jeep. And it's never moved. Tonight, I saw that people have put somebody came by and, like, as a joke, put a sign on, like they taped a sign to this Jeep. And I have so many questions with this, Joel. For, like, where is the owner? I mean, who out there has a Jeep Grand Cherokee? It breaks down, and they're just like, screw it. I'm just going to leave it and never go back and get it.
It must be someone who's got enough money to afford a new car right away and just say, F it with the Jeep, you know? Doesn't even matter.
And then my second part, so first of all, the big question I have is, where is the owner? Because, I mean, my head goes to, like, the worst. Is the owner in the car and no one's bothered checking? I hope not. Did the owner ditch the car, go to the airport, leave the country because they were involved in? I don't know. I have to know, Joel. I'm so invested in this now because every damn day I go and get on the Parkway North on the inbound side. Right, like it's, I don't know what the entrance, I don't know what that area is, but like it's basically on the other side from the McKnight Road and off ramp. That's where the on ramp is. And I don't know why this Jeep hasn't moved in all, I think it's almost 2 months now.
I wonder if the vehicle is stolen.
See, I thought about that as well. But don't you think? I mean, don't you think the police at some point would come by and be like, man, that Jeep has been there a long time. We should probably run the plates on this.
Bingo.
And then, but nobody's moved it. Nobody has, I mean, nobody's even like looked at this thing, I feel like. And part of me is starting to think, like, am I just hallucinating this thing there every day? Am I the only one that can see it? But then today I realize I'm not going crazy because somebody has taped a sign to the side of this Jeep Grand Cherokee. And I do have, like, how does PennDOT not come by? First of all, PennDOT, geez, what a mess. How do they not come by and say, yeah, we got to get rid of this car? Because it's also in a spot, too, where you can kind of cut the corner a little bit when you're getting on. And you almost hit the thing when you get on the on-ramp. It's bothered me to a probably a semi-unhealthy point. I actually tweeted about it tonight, hoping that somebody would be like, oh, yeah, I know the deal. That's so-and-so's car. It hasn't worked yet. I'm considering being one of those people that, like, I'm going to call KDKA TV and be like, hey, you know what we need to do, Joel? We need to get Marty.
I like it.
Need to get Marty.
Whatever this is.
Marty Griffin from over KDK Radio's way. They want a Marconi Award. They should be able to find out. I say they. I'm a part of KDK Radio as well. I broadcast high school basketball on KDK Radio and sometimes some other stuff, but we should have Get Marty do a story on the abandoned car that's been sitting on the side of the highway for 2 months now, I think.
I'm all for it. Let's do it.
So if you're out there and you own, it's sort of a brownish, goldish Jeep. I think it's a Grand Cherokee. And for some reason you haven't realized in the last 2 months you don't have a car anymore. That's where it is. Please come get it because I'm getting a little tired of driving past it and being angry essentially every morning when I drive past the Jeep Grand Cherokee. We've been talking certainly tonight about the Steelers quarterback situation. It's funny, you know, I posted a photo, Joel. I feel like I've done a lot of complaining tonight. I'm not going to lie. This has definitely been a venting sort of night. Part of it is I've been dealing with some Nimrods on social media. I also didn't realize that I was doing this show tonight until yesterday. It was in my calendar, but it was sort of buried down after a bunch of other things. So when I did my show Friday night, I actually said at the end of my show, like, I don't know when I'm going to be on the air next. Turns out it was like 3 days later and I'm back on the air. But I will be away after this for a little while, but hopefully as we get into November, I'll be back on the air. If Lord willing and the creek don't rise, as one of our former hosts here used to say. But I've been dealing with a lot of people, so I feel like I'm complaining a little bit. But, you know, I posted a photo of it was just a still shot of something that was shown on CBS during the game the other day, and it was Russell Wilson sitting on the bench, and in the background you could see Justin Fields and Najee Harris standing next to Mike Tomlin. I thought it was a very interesting shot that CBS got where it was Wilson on the bench and Fields and Harris and Tomlin all standing together. Like, hey, these are the ones and you're the two. And so all I said was, should it stay like this? And 106,000 impressions later, I've had people accuse me of trying to create division or whatever, and we kind of went through that earlier. I don't need to get back into all that mess, but I don't understand why it's so much of an issue to say that there is a legitimate quarterback controversy here. Because in my eyes, I feel like the team welcomed this from the very start, right? Like, they could have said from the very start, Russell Wilson is a number one quarterback. He, no ifs, ands, or buts, Justin Fields is the backup quarterback, and that's the way it is. And they could have come out and said, Mike Tomlin could have come out and said, you know, Justin Fields is still our backup quarterback. When Russell's healthy, he's going to be the guy that gets the shot back in there. But that was never really outright said. The conversation has always been those two words, right? Pole and position. Russell Wilson had pole position. Well, he had pole position until he got hurt, and then nobody really knew where he stood again after that. Until, I guess, today, though, I don't know that there's been full clarity on this. Tom Pelissero of NFL Network says the Steelers are preparing for Russell Wilson to be their quarterback Sunday night against Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. That's an NFL Network guy, a guy who works for the league, saying this. I don't have any reason to not believe that. I don't know that I have seen anybody else definitively report that, at least not that I saw earlier today. So Tom Pelissero is convinced, based on his sources, that it will be Russell Wilson. The Steelers, again, they could have avoided all of this speculation if they would have just said, Russell Wilson is QB1. We think he's the guy that gives us the best chance to win, but they didn't do that. And so now I think it's very fair to ask these questions and discuss, I mean, how much do they truly believe in Russell Wilson if they weren't willing to come out right away and say, point blank, he's our starting quarterback, he's a veteran, he is the guy that we are rolling with. Mike Tomlin didn't do that. Mike Tomlin opened the door to the controversy by coming out and saying he's in pole position. You know, you don't have to be a genius to understand what pole position is. You just have to be a NASCAR fan. No offense to NASCAR fans. That came off maybe a little more harsh than I intended it to. But you get what I'm saying. I guess you could be, well, no, horses don't do pole positions, do they? No, they don't.
Like horse racing?
Yeah, horses all start at the same spot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's, never mind. Though, is there a form of horse racing where they all start staggered maybe a little bit? Is the ones with the carts on the back, cart racing?
Something like that where it's one starts maybe a half
like
body length.
Yeah, kind of like track and field where they stagger
like,
out
yeah,
runners because
like
of the curve involved.
There could be.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know enough about horse racing.
Maybe, although in regular horse racing, I mean,
they just line those boys up and,
the horse,
or girls.
The horse on the inside has technically a little bit shorter track to run than
right.
the
is
outside
that,
horse.
Is that also called pole position?
I guess it could be.
I could just Google it, but that doesn't, that's...
Shorter track gives you the better chance to win.
That's true.
So.
That's true. I used to think that when I was driving home long distances, that if I cut the corners, you know, if I took the inside rail, that I would get home faster. Those were the games that I played driving by myself throughout the state of Pennsylvania. Like, hey, if you're coming up on a bend to the right, if you dip down into the right lane and you take the bend tight on the inside, then I'm going to get home a little bit earlier. I have a very, very weird mind when I'm alone for long periods of time. And I just make up scenarios for sure like that, which definitely, I mean, it has to be marginal, right? Seconds, maybe, that I would get home faster by doing that, if that.
Nothing where it's worth making a, you
yeah.
know, conversation or,
right.
you know, something like that out of it, where it's really valid, I guess.
But Mike Tomlin uses the word pole position, and, you know, I think everybody early on thought, okay, pole position, Russell Wilson is going to be the guy to start, but it could theoretically change. But isn't that the same as if he had said Russell Wilson is definitively the starting quarterback? Like, he still has the option of changing quarterbacks. But he opened this thing up by saying pole position. So my question now is, what has happened between the words pole position and October 15th, where Russell Wilson has done nothing but get injured multiple times, to sort of soften Mike Tomlin's stance on how good Russell Wilson can be? Because the way that I viewed it, and I don't know, maybe I'm just misinterpreting it, but the way that I viewed it is Mike Tomlin likes Russell Wilson enough to want him to be the starting quarterback, but he's not totally convinced that he's good enough still to be a great starting quarterback or even a very good starting quarterback for them here in 2024. He was still opening the door for Justin Fields potentially being better. Maybe he says that because he doesn't want to lose Fields. Maybe he wants Fields to think that he has the opportunity to compete. And after all, Fields has been the guy the first 6 weeks of the year. But I can't get over the fact that Mike Tomlin wasn't super sold on Russell Wilson being the starting quarterback definitively. And now, after Wilson has played zero snaps, zero games, has gotten minimal reps with the first team, now all of a sudden, he feels like Russell Wilson takes them from a team that's really good at times to great. And those were his words today. We've been really good at times. That's not to be confused with great. He wants to be great. Okay, that's fine. But what has Russell Wilson done to prove to you that he is capable of doing that? Or are you just simply kind of throwing caution to the wind, pulling a rabbit out of a hat? I don't know. It could be you're not in a desperate situation here. You're 4-2. You're in okay standings here in the division. You do have a difficult back half of your season, but I don't look at this as like panic button desperation time for the Steelers. I look at this as a chance to continue building with Justin Fields. You're 4-2. If the defense does its job at the end of the Cowboys game, you're 5-1. And yeah, this was on Fields, but the fumble against Indy, the miscommunication against Indy late, that's on Fields, but they were driving to potentially tie or win the game then. The two games that they've lost have come down to the bitter end. They're that close to being 6-0. And, you know, ifs and buts and all that, but they are very close to being potentially among the very elite in the NFL. And I don't know if that's truly who they are, but I think we are seeing right now that clearly Mike Tomlin isn't sold on Justin Fields and what he can do. Clearly, he thinks that there are greener pastures with Russell Wilson, because you don't make this move after a 4-2 start unless you are damn convinced that Russell Wilson improves your chances of winning over Justin Fields in a relatively significant way. 412-928-9370, if you want to join us. Let's grab a call here. Let's go to Dennis in the car next on the Fan. Hi, Dennis.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Not too bad. I just want to chime in about this because I've heard a lot of people, like, have their hesitancies to switching to Russell when they've complained throughout the entire tenure of Mike Tomlin's career about just being having more wins than losses, but not getting it done in the postseason.
Right.
Well, maybe he feels like at a 4-2 record, he could just sleepwalk to getting him the 9-8 record. But Russ might, with some time against lesser foes, take us a little bit further.
Yeah.
Now, I think that's wrong. I'd go to Russ, but I think our chances are shot now that our offensive line is bad. I'll hang up and listen.
All right, Dennis, thanks for the call. You know, I get what you're saying there. I mean, I do think that there is part of Mike Tomlin that thinks that there is a ceiling right now on Justin Fields. I don't think that that's the right approach to have, because this guy has statistically been a better quarterback in many respects than he was in Chicago. He clearly has made progress, and it's not, you know, I don't think progress is a straight line here. I mean, I think there's going to be ups and downs with him, particularly as he learns a new system and it goes in, you know, gets familiar with all the things that go into being a starting quarterback in the NFL. But I don't know. Like, I just view Fields as having far more potential right now than Wilson. I think there's the ceiling. I think the ceiling is on Russell Wilson, not Justin Fields. I think Fields has a lot of room to grow and improve. I think they can scheme around him. Wilson, there are elements of his game that are better than what Fields can do, but that doesn't mean that he has a higher ceiling right now or the team has a higher ceiling with him than with Justin Fields, unless what they are seeing on tape is really, really bad. And that's the one thing I will say. And we talked to Chris Carter earlier, and I noticed a couple of things just watching the game where, yeah, Fields is missing guys at times who are open. Maybe it's worse than I even thought. Maybe it's worse than everybody else sort of thought. And maybe this offense can get out there and Russ can cook. But I view it as a guy right now who has a very, very definable ceiling. And that guy is Russell Wilson, not Justin Fields. That said, I haven't seen Russell Wilson throw a pass in a Steelers jersey yet. And maybe it's fair of me, since we're really big into the media being fair, maybe it's fair for me to wait and see how that plays out before I definitively say it's not going to work. PetFest 24, presented by Subaru, is back October 27th at Rockwell Park in the East End. The event runs from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m., Bring your four-legged friends to meet vendors, participate in costume contests, get photos with Santa. That's the dogs. The dogs get photos with Santa. Joel, if you take a dog there, it's your dog. Your dog gets the photo with Santa. I don't know if you're welcome. You might be welcome in that, but you're not allowed to sit on Santa's lap. The dog can. You, not so much. And you can also join in the blessing of the pets at 9:30 a.m. Donation at the door benefits the Salvation Army. Pet Fest is brought to you by Bully Max Dog Food and Forever Lawn. For more information, go to 937thefan.com. Joel, do you have a little dog of any kind?
Not a dog. Our family used to have a couple cats, but right. No dogs at all.
No dogs. Last year at Pet Fest, we had it at Stage AE, and I brought my dog down, and they had an area where they were trying to get dogs to sit still for photos. So they were using a squeaky toy, and that, you know, squeak, squeak, and the dog would look at the camera, and it was very cute. They were getting very cute photos out of it because the dog was, you know, like perked up and he was paying attention to the squeaky toy. The problem was, and this is a good problem, it was funny. The problem was my dog, anytime he hears a squeaky toy, turns into a savage maniac who has to have the squeaky toy. So he's in Stage AE and he's hearing, you know, 100 feet away, a squeaky toy go off. Boom, he's going after this. He was a little bit in over his head, and he had to have the squeaky toy.
That's pretty funny.
So it ended up costing me something like $17 to buy the dog a freaking squeaky toy just to settle him down a little bit. But I think it ultimately went to a good cause as well. I think there was a donation, which if you're going to donate anywhere, you can donate anywhere you want. I don't care. Don't donate, you know, charity is good. But donate to some pet-friendly organizations. That's and have your pet spayed and neutered, as Bob Barker once said. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Check out the 24 Silverado 1500 at 1.9% financing, up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Overnight, cloudy with showers, a low of 42. A chance of showers continuing Wednesday, a high of 53, a low of 41. Sunny skies and temps in the 60s set for Thursday. I'm Josh Rountree. This is The Fan Evening Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.